Well, good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus. Welcome to everyone. And nice to see all of your faces. A little bit chilly, but hopefully there's lots of warmth in your heart. And if it's not, maybe you can warm it up with coffee. I'm not sure if I can give you permission to go get coffee now or not, but if you're really cold, I would recommend that. Maybe you don't like coffee, but anyway, we don't have much else to offer. I would like to just take a few moments to reflect on, usually when we have church outside, I think my mind often goes to Christians in other places. And when I was growing up, I read a lot of stories. We read a lot of stories. My parents had books that gave stories of the persecuted church and of gatherings in the woods, in the cold, in the snow, and that type of thing. I would like to just take a moment, if we could just take a moment of silence and reflect on the church in North Korea. North Korea, I don't know how much you know about North Korea, but North Korea is the number one persecuted church. It's the worst place to be a Christian. And maybe we can just take a moment to think about them. When we think of being, we do this because we like being outside. We don't have to be out here. We have a church house, but we do it because we want to. But there's many places in the world where Christians gather in places probably similar to this because they're hiding. And always fearful of maybe being discovered by authorities and so on. So let's just pause a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we think of your church scattered around the globe that is being persecuted, that is being tortured. Those that are in prison, those that are being, those that are suffering, poverty and cold and difficulty because of being your followers. We just want to take a moment to ask you to bless each one of those today. And as we spend this time here this morning, I pray that you would touch our hearts with compassion and help us to never take for granted the blessings that you are giving us in this land. We just want to honor you and bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I want to speak on a subject that is a little bit different from what we... I don't know that I've ever spoke on this subject, and it has to do with 1 Timothy 1. I did not get through my sermon last Sunday, and it looks like I have about 50 minutes. I'll try to be done by 12. Can't promise you for sure. But it has to do with verse 18 of 1 Timothy 1. And for those of you that don't know, I started a series on the first two or the two books of Timothy, the letters to Timothy that Paul was writing to Timothy. And last Sunday we spoke on the first part of the chapter. Today I would like to pull out of verse 18 one item. It's a statement in passing. I'll read the verse to you. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, and notice what he says next. According to prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. And we'll go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And 2 Timothy 1, verses 2 through 7. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, and notice what he says next, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us, we know this verse well, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So today, I want to speak to you concerning the gift of prophecy. Does anybody want to come up and take my place? There's probably some of you that maybe know more about this, have experienced more about this. I personally cannot speak much from experience as to how this gifting works. And we have scripture records, and that's largely where I need to go to speak on it. It is my desire, though, that God would develop this gift in the congregation at Christian Light. I don't know if it's your desire or not, but it is a gift that God wants to develop in His church that is meant for edification, is meant for the furtherance of the gospel, and it's also meant for knowledge, words of knowledge. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit has knowledge? And when we're inspired by the Holy Spirit, those words of knowledge should come out. And so I realize it's a very controversial, can be a very controversial subject. Not my desire to stir up a lot of controversy, but it is my desire to see the church of God, whether it's Christian Light Fellowship or whatever church you represent, that His church would go forward in the giftings that God has given to the church. Probably our minds, a lot of us, our minds first, immediately, I should say, go to the false prophets. And often when this subject comes up, that's our kind of our default position. We go back to the false side of the gifting, and then it stops us from reaching out for what is the Holy Spirit gifting. How many of you believe that the gift of prophecy is meant for the church today in 2016? Raise your hands, please. Most of you. Are you willing to allow God to develop that gift in you? You don't have to raise your hands, but if you really believe and you have faith and you have a heart to serve God, it would by default be your desire. So let's just look at the word a little bit. Prophecies. The word is prophetia. I'm not saying it quite right according to the Greek, but prophetia, it's a form of the word prophecy. It means prediction, making a prediction. And it also means prophecy, prophesying. If you follow the Greek numbers, the next number is 4396, which means prophetes, a foreteller by analogy, an inspired speaker, or even a poet or a prophet. So you have a little more depth in the meaning. So what does prophecy mean? Making a prediction or foretelling events. That's part of it. And then also part of it is an inspired speaker. So all preachers should be prophets in that sense, right? All Christians should be prophets in that sense, where we speak under inspiration. We don't just speak for the sake of speaking. We speak under the inspiration. There's like Jeremiah, what did he say? There was a fire inside of him. There was a fire in his bones. He spoke by inspiration. And true preachers, prophets, will speak by inspiration. It is God's intent that His preachers, His Christians, not just the preachers that stand behind pulpits, but all of His Christians are preachers, whether you're man or woman. And we'll talk a little bit about that, as to how God wants to develop this in His church. And I can't go into the women's side of it very much. I may get to that later in the books here. Paul talks to Timothy about some of that, and we'll look at some of that. But speaking by inspiration, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a young person, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit And God intends for you to speak under that inspiration. How many of you want to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Okay, I'm going to give you opportunity today. We'll do this at some point in the sermon. And I saw your hand, so don't be bashful. There's a good chance that, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to have a prayer here in just a moment. I'm going to pray that God gives somebody a word of prophecy. We all said we believe in it, right? It's for the church at Christian Light. So are you willing to receive that word of prophecy from the Holy Spirit and then give it out to somebody in this group? Are you willing? It might be a little uncomfortable for you, but it's a good place to start. And it's not just meant, I don't think, for church services. It's actually meant to go out on the street and to speak words into people's lives that will bring them face to face with the reality that there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven, because how else could this person know this? There's no other way that this person could know this truth about me except through some supernatural revelation. Inspired speaking is supernatural revelation. It goes beyond knowledge. Knowledge is required. There is a dual effort in this process. Our responsibility is to acquire knowledge, but then God comes along and anoints this knowledge by His Holy Spirit. We are the transmitter. We're the vessel that God wants to use to develop this, not for ourselves. I think today there's a lot of prophecy being done for the purpose of bringing glory to myself. Look how spiritual I am. Look how spiritual he is. It's not about that. If that's your heart, please don't pursue it, because it will go wrong. But God wants to use me. He wants to use you to speak through as a vessel. John the Baptist, he was a great example. It wasn't about John the Baptist, and he understood that. It was about Jesus Christ. So anyways, one thing I want to highlight here in this verse again, or in the verses that we read rather, the verses out of 2 Timothy 1, 2-7, the last part of the verse was what? Somebody tell us. God hath not given us, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He has not given us the spirit of fear. And Paul was saying this right on the tail end of encouraging Timothy to develop this gift in him. Now, I'm not quite sure. He said that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And I'm not sure if that gift was the gift of prophecy or not. I didn't study it deep enough. But whatever the gift was, it was given to Timothy by the laying on of hands, by speaking words of prophecy over Timothy, is how I would read these passages. But anyways, so Paul was saying, don't let the spirit of fear stop that. How many of you know that when there's fear in our life, God cannot move forward in our lives? If you have any experience with fear, you know that's very true, don't you? When we have paralyzing fear in our lives, we cannot move forward in the spirit. And so the first thing we need to do is cleanse ourselves from that fear. Put away the fear and bring in the Holy Spirit of love and power to replace that fear. And then God can develop what he wants to develop in us. All right, let's do just an honest evaluation of ourselves in relation to this gift. And I already asked you this question. How many of us believe that the prophetic is for the church today? And there was a lot of hands. Do you believe that God more than likely has given this gift to the church at Christian Light? Or is that a gift for the Pentecostals down the road, or the Charismatics, or who knows what? Or is it for Christian Light? What do you think? Any ideas?
I believe it is for Christian Light. I believe it is for any church that has the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
In it.
Any church that has the Holy Spirit. That's who this gifting is for. Now, it's interesting to notice that not everyone has the same gifts, right? We don't all have the same gifts. There's different gifts. Part of my responsibility, Part of your responsibility is to watch for the gifts. And then I think what happened in Timothy's case, apparently, and it's not detailed this way, but I would say this is what happened. Paul saw something in Timothy. And he may even have had a supernatural revelation that Timothy is called for this specific work. And at some point they went up to Timothy and said, hey, God is calling you to this work. This is the work that God is calling you. We know this by the Holy Spirit. So what did they do? They spoke it out over him. They put their hands on him and they blessed that and sent Timothy forth. And now here Paul was writing back to Timothy and he was saying, don't neglect that gift. Don't neglect that gift that was given you by the hands of the presbytery, which I didn't look up that word. I think it was, maybe I did look it up. I think it was actually the Sanhedrin or the elders of the church. They were watching over the church. They saw, here's a young man that has tremendous potential. And not only did they see it in the knowledge sense, but they had a revelation. And so they went up and they called that out. And I have that responsibility at Christian Light. If I see that, if you see that as a brother, and you see something in a person, you can go up to that person and say, God is giving you an opportunity. God has given you a gift. And I just want to bless that gift. And I just want to pray that blessing over you and encourage you to step out in faith. Because it sounds like Timothy had some trouble with fear. If you read later in the letters, Paul said, what did he say? Drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. If you know anything about public speaking, you know anything about being young, you know that it can put your stomach in a knot when you're called to responsibilities of leading out in church, of some of the things that Paul was charging Timothy to do. It was a big task. And more than likely, Timothy was experiencing fear, he's experiencing anxiety. But Paul said, don't let that fear stop you. So I want to encourage you this morning. If you're here and you know that God has given you a gift, God has given you a talent, don't let fear stop that calling in your life. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Wow. Okay. Is this gift, I want you to answer this question. Is this gift gender specific? So I'll give you a little more. Can it be either male or female? Or is it just for the males? Both. And we know that because of the prophecy from Joel, right? When the Holy Spirit came on in Acts 2, these people were... What the people around them thought, these people are crazy. No, Peter stood up and said, this is what this is. And he referenced the book of Joel, and Joel said, Joel, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, forward prophecy, events to come. He made a prediction that came to pass. He said, this is what will happen. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh and your sons and daughters, thank you, Gloria. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So you cannot hide, ladies, you cannot hide behind the men in this one. God clearly said, I want you, sons, I will have the sons and daughters prophesy. The men and the women will prophesy. Now, there's a correct place for this. And we'll talk about some of that maybe later. But I just want to make it very, very clear to you that when God pours out his spirit today in 2016, he does it across humanity, men or women. So please, ladies, listen up. God may be calling you with the gift of prophecy. He may have given you that gift. And you're sitting there, oh, I can't do this. This is too scary. Don't let fear stop you. And that might feel a little uneasy to you, but it is the Bible. Would you say, we're doing an evaluation today, or right now, would you say that this gift of prophecy is being well exercised at Christian Light Fellowship? I see a few heads shaking no. And I would agree with you. I don't think that for whatever reason, probably largely because of the misuse of it, maybe, and also probably because of our personal fear, and so on. We have not focused on this particular gift for some reason, but it's very, very clear in the scriptures, numerous places, that this is one of the gifts that the church is meant to exhibit in the kingdom. What may be some things that are hindering this gift in our congregation? Not the congregations out there, but our congregation. Any ideas? We already talked about at least one of them. Remember for 2 Timothy? Yes. Lack of experience. It's a good one. Isn't a big one fear that we talked about before? We don't want to get out of our box, right? We like it in our box pretty good. We don't want to step outside of that security. Largely, the fear is also the fear of man. What are the people going to think if I do this? Also, negligence. Simply, and some of that goes with what Jeremy said, lack of knowledge. We don't know what it is. We haven't seen it. We haven't experienced it. And so we just neglect it. And also possibly could be unbelief. You will find teachings today where people will say all of those things stopped when the apostles left the planet. Those things stopped. But I personally don't believe that. I believe that God has given the gifts to the church starting in Acts, going down across the ages all the way to our day. Okay. Are we willing to make room in our church for this gift? Don't have to answer that. Hopefully we are. It is the will of God to develop this in every congregation. Am I personally willing to be used in that way? It's a challenging question. So I would like to pray at this time and simply ask God to forgive us for our negligence, our fear of man, our fear of the counterfeit. I am not oblivious to the counterfeit. Maybe I'll just say this right now. The reason there's a counterfeit is because the devil knows there is a very powerful reality in prophecy. So he's bringing up the counterfeit to try to hopefully stop the church from experiencing reality. That is why there's a counterfeit. All powerful things have counterfeit. If it's not powerful, if it's just a little thing, you won't find a counterfeit. That's even the way it works in money and all kinds of things. But the counterfeit is there because of Satan and all his evil demons know that if he can stop this gifting in the church of Jesus Christ, he can stop a lot of what needs to go forward in the church and in the world. So that's why there's a counterfeit. We should know about the counterfeit, but we should not fear the counterfeit. We should know about it for the purpose where we can combat it with reality. What tends to happen is we fear the counterfeit and then we close the door for reality. And so I would like to pray, and I'll just pray. You can pray with me in the spirit if you want to. But we'll bring this to God. Tell God that we want to experience reality in this one. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have designed the church. You are building your church. And we welcome you to come and build your church here in Bedford County, whether it is Christian Light Fellowship or any other church that is walking after you. We just want to ask you to help us to experience the reality in the prophetic giftings that you have given to the church. And I ask your forgiveness where we have been unbelieving, where we have been negligent, where we have been fearful. Oh Lord, I pray you'd forgive us where we have had the fear of man, where these things may have stopped us from moving forward in what you want to do through your church. Please, Lord, forgive us. We bring this before you. We confess it openly and honestly before you. And Lord, we don't probably, most of us really don't know really how this is supposed to look in your church. And we're just desiring that you would teach us as little children, that we could walk forward in honesty and openness, and under, most of all, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, teach us, I pray. Thank you for forgiving us. We receive that through the blood of Jesus, and I pray that you would lead us. And I pray, Lord, specifically that you would give a word of prophecy here this morning to someone, or even multiple people. I pray that you would make it abundantly clear in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're dependent on you, and we will trust you to lead us and to show us. And I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we'll go on. And again, at some point, I want you now to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And if he's given you a word, please don't be afraid to share it. And if he hasn't, it's okay. Two things that we need to have established in our mind for this gift of prophecy in 2016. The exercise of prophecy is a gifting in the body of Christ. And if you don't believe it, study your scriptures, because it sticks out many, many different places. Acts 2:17-18, we already referred to this. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. When the Holy Spirit shows up, prophecy comes forth. Why is there no prophecy in the church? Maybe the Holy Spirit is missing. God help us. When the Holy Spirit comes, and you just read Acts 2 if you have any question. It was amazing what happened. When the Holy Spirit touches a person, those vocal cords come alive. Romans 12:4-6, for we have many members in one body. All the members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Okay, so two things we need to have established. The gift of prophecy is, in fact, for the church of Jesus Christ today. The second one, this one is very, very important, because it is possible to see this and say, well, this is something that the church should have, and then we step out and we try to make it happen. No, we don't want to do that either. We want the Holy Spirit to develop this, okay? That's the second thing we need to remember or have established. It is for the church, and it is driven forward. It is gifted by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is in charge of his church and of the giftings. 1 Corinthians 12:7-14, the manifestations of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the spirit of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. This is another one that I've prayed many prayers. God, please show us what this one is. Please show us what this one is. But we're not talking about that one today. By the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy. Right there you have it. It is given by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy is given to the church by the Holy Spirit. To another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As he will. For as the body is one, hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity. We usually say love is the greatest, right? Notice what Paul says here to the Corinthians. He says, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may, anybody know? Prophesy. Paul said, charity, yes. Spiritual gifts, yes. But I would rather you would prophesy. Again, that word is to foretell events. Divine, speak under inspiration, and exercise the prophetic office. It's a little bit different form of the same word in the Greek, but it is to foretell events, divine, and speak under the inspiration. And that inspiration is the Holy Spirit. Any question what prophecy means by now? Did you get it? It's speaking under the inspiration, speaking like I am speaking to you right now. Under the inspiration, there's something inside that comes out that is manufactured by the Holy Spirit. Let me see. In 1 Corinthians 14, down in verse 15, I think it is, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. I listened to a sermon. And by the way, if you want some inspirational teaching on this, I think Zach Poonen, go on YouTube, search prophetic or Zach Poonen, and it'll probably pop up. He has some good material on this subject. And I listened to one of his sermons this morning, and he was talking about how that today we have churches that make much of speaking in tongues. And you know that to be true. Many churches, especially the charismatic Pentecostal movement, speaking in tongues, but not so much the prophetic. And Paul is saying right here, I would rather that you speak in the prophetic than to speak in tongues. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for, notice what he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you see in that array there is the prophetic is one of the key ingredients for this process to take place. Prophecies in the body are for the edification of the body of Christ, whether, and I believe I'm correct here, I stand to be corrected, but I think that the prophetic can both be for the physical needs of the body as well as the spiritual. And when I say the physical needs, I'm talking about things like healing possibly at times, and whatever else that may entail. The whole person, spirit, soul, and body, God wants each part of our being to be impacted by His Holy Spirit, and He may give you a word for somebody that will impact one of those three dimensions of our being. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about some biblical examples of prophecy. Again, some people teach that supernatural prophecy was only for the apostles, but you find even back in the record of Acts, there was things that happened just among the common people, it looks like, that were prophetic. And one of those was Acts 21, 10 through 11. We tarried there many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Any of you children know what Agabus told the Apostle Paul? He was a prophet in the book of Acts. I don't know if there's a Bible story about that one or not, but Agabus took, yes, Sean. He told him not to go to Jerusalem. This would make a good children's class, by the way, if somebody wants to take this one sometime. But what did he do? He took off his girdle, right? And he did what? Anybody remember? I don't see any hands. Tied his hands? Yes. Let's read it. I think I have the verse here. Yes. We tarried there many days. There came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now, he wasn't one of the 12 apostles, was he? So this was a little bit beyond the 12 apostles. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and his feet. So he wrapped his hands together and his feet and said, Paul, this is what's going to happen to you in Jerusalem. Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And if you know the story following, you know that is what happened. This man, Agabus, was speaking into Paul's life, even in the physical sense, and he was saying, look, Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen to you. And they didn't want him to go. And they obviously believed Agabus. And I think Agabus was the one that had prophesied a drought too, if I'm not mistaken, previous to this passage. And so he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak. Here is what God wants to do with the church at Christian Light. And this is where prophecy comes in and is very powerful. I want to read a scenario to you out of 1 Corinthians 14, 24 through 25. If all prophesy and there come in one, I'm just breaking in, there come in one that believeth not. So this morning, if the prophetic is being exercised in this group and an unbeliever comes in, what is supposed to happen? If it's Holy Spirit prophecy, it tells us that he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. Now, I just want to say a few words while I think about it concerning the prophetic today. My knowledge of the prophetic is pretty small, but a lot of what I hear in the prophetic today sounds good. And I don't know about your perspective, but a lot of it is good stuff. I mean, you don't hear too much, and at least I haven't heard too much prophecy where they're prophesying judgment or negativity. We are becoming a very, very, I'll use the word thin-skinned generation, where we just want to hear good stuff. We don't want to hear the negative. Well, when the prophets showed up a lot of time in the Old Testament, what were their inspirations? They were inspirations of judgment, coming judgment that God is going to pour out. And I realize it needs to be balanced, but here he is judged by this word of prophecy, and he will fall on his face and worship God. He came in an unbeliever. He becomes a believer because of the gift of prophecy. When that unbeliever walks into the congregation that is spiritually alive, is being exercised in the prophetic, somebody more than likely will receive a word from the Holy Spirit and will go up to that man and share it with this man. And this man will, whoa, there is a God. There has to be a God. Again, I don't know that I have ever seen it happen at Christian Light. Maybe I'm missing something. If somebody has, please share it. But that is what God wants to do. When the unbelievers come into our midst, they are convicted, they are judged, they are convinced that there is a God that is alive and real. The secrets of his heart are manifest. How can that be? It comes through the prophetic word of that person. That person can speak into that person, that unbeliever's life, and tell him the secrets of his heart. God is able to do that through his Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm proposing to you this morning. We have an example of prophecy in Acts 8, 20 through 23 I'm going to read to you. And we would probably think this is extreme, but this was Peter. Peter said unto him, and I don't have time to really set the stage for this, but and I'll try to do it a little bit. There was an interaction between Peter and Elymas. Elymas wanted the gift of giving out the Holy Spirit. And Peter was there, and Peter knew that Elymas was being motivated by the almighty dollar. He said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought. How did Peter know this? Peter knew it through the Holy Spirit. He knew exactly what was taking place inside this man's heart. He could see it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew his thoughts. Thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart. How did Peter know? Thy heart is not right with God. He spoke it right out. And Peter, it's no wonder they didn't like Peter. Even following right after the Holy Ghost came, when he stood up and said, you guys are the ones that crucified Jesus. He was sent to be the Savior of the world and you crucified him. And Peter was like that. He just said it. But he was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, and I'm assuming this man knew it. If he didn't know it yet, he's going to find it out. Notice what happened next. Repent therefore of thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps a thought of thine iniquity may be forgiven thee. You know what? I don't think I have the rest of the verse. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And then he said, thou shalt, I think this was the story. You're going to be blind for a period of time. And immediately blindness came on him, and he looked for somebody to lead him by the hand. He couldn't see the sun. This was prophetic, not a comfortable situation at all, but it was a powerful witness that Peter was being used by the Holy Spirit, or used by God through the Holy Spirit. Then we have the pleasant prophecies as well. We have Zacharias when your preacher should have done his homework a little better. I think it was when Jesus came into the temple. Was it John the Baptist? But he was filled with this praise, and he spoke these words. I'll just give you a little bit of it. I don't want to take the time to read all of it. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and so on. Beautiful passage there. Beautiful, flowing, prophetic word that came out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was either John the Baptist, I think it was John the Baptist, when they brought him to the temple there. Or it was either him or Jesus. And this prophetic word came forth under the inspiration of the Spirit. Okay, let's talk about practically exercising the prophetic. Again, God flows through spiritually free people. If you want to be used by God, if you have a desire to be used by God, step number one is to get rid of that fear, get rid of that sin, get rid of that addiction, get rid of whatever might be hiding inside, whatever you're hiding in your life. God wants you to get rid of that. How do you get rid of it? Bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the cross. Confess your sin, repent, and he will take you. He will cleanse you. So that's step number one. God flows through spiritually free beings. You don't have to be perfect. Let me give you a word of hope. You don't have to be spiritually perfect, but you must be spiritually free. Do you understand that? We can be spiritually free even when we're spiritually imperfect. So don't ever believe the lie, no matter at what age bracket you are. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're walking in the light that you have, to the best of your knowledge, you're spiritually free, but you may not be spiritually perfect. And as you grow in your Christianity, you'll know what I mean, if you don't know now yet. So God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We must replace fear with what? Faith, love. Fear has to go out the door in order for God to develop this gifting in our lives. We move forward in the prophetic by faith in the promises of God. God said it's for the church, right? And we agree with it. We say, yes, God, you're right. I don't really know how it's supposed to work, but I believe it's there. I believe we should be experiencing it. That opens the door for God to give revelation to us when we're just willing to be honest. Obedience to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Very, 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 very important. If you will be led by the Holy Spirit in the prophetic, you must learn to obey the Holy Spirit. Not just when you want to, or not just when you feel like it. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's very sensitive. And we can quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and we say no. He might speak again. His voice becomes softer and softer, and finally we won't hear his voice anymore. So we must learn to obey when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We can quench the Holy Spirit's conviction or inspiration. Very serious stuff. We must listen for the voice of God. And hopefully you're doing that right now. While I'm speaking, you're listening. God, is there a word that I should be speaking to someone? We listen for the voice or for the word. This can come through recognizing a calling in someone's life. We can speak that out through a prophetic word, laying on of the hands and in prayer. It's powerful. When we call out a gift in a person and we lay our hands on that person and we put a blessing on them, there is something about that, obviously, because of what Paul said to Timothy. So we listen for the voice of God. True prophets speak both negative and positive prophecies. Not everything is positive these days, but not everything is negative either. But true prophets of God will speak both. They will speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in both ways. And again, it's all for edification and for building up and for pulling people out of the fire. It's meant for that purpose. It's not for self-exaltation or to show people how spiritual I am or how much I know. It's a trap that we can easily fall into. Excuse me. We must recognize false prophets. We're talking about practical application of these truths today. We must recognize false prophets, false brethren, false Christ, false witnesses. It is spoken of quite a bit in the New Testament, surprisingly, if you do the research. There was a lot of that, and there's a reason for it, like I told you before, and it's that way today, probably compounded today, I would say. False prophets, false spirits, false brethren, false Christ, and so on. We must learn to recognize those. Not just everybody that says, hey, I'm a prophet of God, and he tells you to do something. And by the way, I had told John, I think maybe you could do that right now. If you would just stand and give your story, and I'll just say a couple more words. This was quite a confirmation for me last night when John and Anna showed up at our house. And the first part of the conversation that happened was about this man that was following the false prophets. And I didn't know what I was going to share for sure this morning. I'd been praying for most of the week, and finally Friday night it seemed like God was saying, hey, this is what you should be sharing. And then John showed up Saturday night, and you didn't know it, but you gave a pretty good confirmation. So if you would just stand in just a few words, you don't have to give any names, talk about the man that listened to the false prophet and what happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can do it in a few words, but I'll just make it very short. As I can. Yeah. Yes. I knew a man, met a man, well, I knew him before he moved to Alaska. And he moved to Alaska, and he listened to a false prophet. He went to a church where there was a false prophet. And this man, who grew up like we did, ended up marrying another wife because he listened to this prophet. It made sense to him and his wife until God revealed to them, this is wrong. And I don't know what more to say. I don't know that prophet, but it really did something to me to think that somebody who is pretty solid can give ear and listen to a false prophet, and there are consequences of that. It was there's a long story, but that is a few words. Yes. What happened.
Thank you, John. And again, I'm not here to inspire fear in any way. I just want you to know what the reality is of what happens today, and hopefully I can help you give you a few tools that will help you discern the voice of the prophet. We are to test the spirits. In John, it tells us, try the spirits to see whether they're of God. And John, if I'm not mistaken, the man also moved to Alaska because the prophet said, another prophet said, you need to move to Alaska. And he found a prophet there that said, you need to marry this second wife. And you know, we think, well, we would never do anything like that. But he was a man just like us. And unless we're diligent, unless we're vigilant, and unless we know reality, there's a good possibility we can fall into those things. And again, we stress the reality. We stress the real prophet. And that is the best way to combat that kind of prophetic, the false prophetic. Anyways. Beware of false prophets, Jesus' words, which come to you in what? Sheep's clothing. A wolf puts on sheep's clothing. He looks like a sheep, but he's a wolf or a false prophet. Inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Okay, now here is probably the most important tool for your toolbox as to be able to discern prophets. So what does he say next? Ye shall know them by their fruits. So for me, I hear the prophetic. I hear somebody is a prophet of God. It is right for me, and I do this. I ask a little deeper into their lives. Well, how are they living their life? Are they living above sin? Do they have victory over sin? Are they walking in obedience to the clear commands of God? Those are things that we need to do, and we don't need to apologize for it. It's part of our responsibility as Christians, as true prophets. When somebody comes and says, hey, over there is a prophet of God, we need to ask some questions. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't just believe every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Zach Poonen said, and I have no way to statistically prove it, but he said he thinks there are more false prophets than there are true prophets. And it would make sense with some of the things that Jesus taught. There's many that go in and few that take the straight and narrow. So good chance there's more false prophets today. Again, the reason I don't want to inspire fear in any way, but I want to inspire reality. And you need to know these things. What criteria, let's talk a little bit about testing fruit. What criteria do we use for testing fruit? And we're talking about spiritual fruit. Isn't the first thing we should look at is this? The Bible. We should know the Bible. We should know what the Holy Spirit is and does. We should know what true prophets say and do. So the Bible. If there's a prophet that only speaks well, I would question him. Because, again, true prophets speak both. They speak both judgment and they also speak blessing under the inspiration of God. Prophecies that are accurate and come to pass. That is another one. It's probably why they believed Agabus, because he had prophesied of this drought. It came to pass when he showed up there at Paul. You know, they could have said, you don't know what you're talking about. And Paul could have said, bah, I don't believe that. That's not going to happen. But they believed him, apparently, and it came to pass. Oh, I couldn't figure out my own writing here. Does it carry an anointing of the Holy Spirit? When you have the Holy Spirit, there is a mutual witness between two people that have the Holy Spirit. And if you pay attention to this, this is not that hard to sense. Learn to develop this. It's helpful even when you interact with people that you don't know. Is there a connection between my spirit and his spirit? It's quite interesting if you learn to develop that, how clearly you can tell whether someone is a follower of Jesus Christ or not without them even having spoken a word. So use that when you encounter prophets. Is there an anointing? Is there a witness? False prophets are often loners. And this one might not go down well, but I don't apologize for the fact. I'm sorry if there's any people that feelings may be hurt, but many times today, false prophets are loners because they cannot submit themselves to the body of Christ. Remember all the verses we read. The body has many members. There's different gifts in the body. And when you see someone that over a long period of time cannot find their place in a body, look, there is many Christians in this land, and there's many, many opportunities for us to submit to a body, people that are following Jesus Christ. But if you see someone that goes through year after year after year and they refuse, but they say, God speaks to me, and I know this because God told me. Look, I have a really hard time. I have a lot of difficulty with that. Because they tend to become false prophets because together we find the voice of God. And I hope I don't know if I need to balance that more or not, but that is one of the hallmarks of a false prophet today, is extreme, being an extreme loner. And please don't take it as saying, well, I can't function as an individual in the body. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if you say God is speaking to me, is showing me all these things, but you refuse to submit yourself to your brothers, there is something wrong. Okay, a few closing thoughts, then I'm going to open it up again for a word. It's 12 o'clock, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a few minutes at least. And if you have any questions or if you have any corrections, I would welcome those as well. If the gift of prophecy is counterfeited, again, it means it's very valuable. So we should pursue it, and we have Paul's encouragement to pursue it. Prophecy is simply speaking the undiluted word of God, whether it's the Bible or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Bible, but he also speaks, and I want to say this carefully, but please understand me, he speaks beyond the Bible. There are things in our lives that may not be specifically addressed in the Bible. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit also speaks. It does need to harmonize with the Bible and so on, but that is very important. Whether it is the Bible or the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that is what prophecy is. Again, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, sons and daughters. Prophecies are the direct result of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be otherwise. When the Holy Spirit is present, the words that come out of you will be touched by his presence. Test the spirits. Don't just believe everyone that says, I'm a prophet. Even if there are supernatural manifestations. And I don't know how well we're doing with this one. But there are supernatural manifestations. When there is a supernatural manifestation, many times we say it's got to be. It's got to be the right thing. A little bit like the alternative medicine. We could go into that one. It's bringing good results, but it doesn't mean it's clean. So please be careful with that. I believe in supernatural manifestations by all means, but just because there's a supernatural manifestation doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. Those are just some tools that you need to carry with you. And because Jesus said, beware lest any man deceive you. So we need to beware, be real, but do not be afraid to exercise yourself, on the other hand, in the supernatural. Let's pray, and then I'm going to open up. Father, in the name of Jesus, you heard every word I said, and I pray that if there's anything that I said that is not according to your will or according to your word, that you would reveal it and make it manifest. I pray that you would also give courage to anyone that may have received a word from you, that may have been given a blessing for someone, or a word that would bring conviction to someone, Lord, that you would have them share that. I pray you'd make it abundantly clear and give them courage to do that. And I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, anyone? I'm not going to wait long. If there's anyone, please raise your hand and raise it high. I might not be able to see you, but I'll try. Anyone? Elam. You want to just hang on? Can you run him a mic?
Not necessarily suggesting here that I have a prophecy that has not been revealed, but I'd like to call attention to the Old Testament prophets and how many times I've seen that we see something like this. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, go do this and say this, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just sort of reinforcing what you sort of said here in this message, that an angle or a portion of prophecy for us today is to be able to make application of God's word, speaking it into whatever situation that we may be part of at that time, but making direct application of God's word in that situation is a form of prophecy that I think We do a good bit of that here, I think.
Yes. Thank you for that. You're right there. You are correct. The other thing that is interesting in the prophets, in the Old Testament, many times the prophets spoke in reference to history. So a prophet will do that. He understands God's dealings with man, and he will prophetically speak. He can say, well, such and such will happen. So it's important for us to know our history as well. That's one dimension of it. There was something else I wanted to say. I'm not sure what it was, but anyone else? Question? I know what it was. If you have a question, feel free to share those as well. Karen. Yep.
Yeah, I have a question. Somebody had mentioned here earlier this morning that we prophecy is something maybe we don't understand, or maybe what it looks like. And you were talking about earlier about how a prophecy can bring conviction into one's life. I never knew what prophecy looked like either. And when I first came to Pennsylvania, I was attending a church, and I was this, as many of you know, I was going through a very hard time. I was very broken. I felt like God didn't know me or wasn't listening to me. And I went to this church, and there was a man there. And he didn't say it was for me directly, but he had said it was for someone in this congregation this morning. God wants me to tell you. God is saying this to you. And he brought forth, he didn't know me from Adam. It was the first time I'd been there. And he brought forth basically every single thing that I was going through. And I thought, you know, God doesn't see me. God doesn't know me. Why is this happening to me? And he brought forth all of the things that I was going through, and he told me what was happening. He told me I was going through a time in the desert so that, you know, I could, my strength would get bigger in my faith and blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you what, I know he was speaking to me, and I knew it was through the Holy Spirit, and it was at that point that my faith, like you had said, it touched me in such a way that my faith started to bloom again. And I know prophecy is something that I don't see a lot of, and I don't know what it looks like. But there are times, like, I will wonder, is it just a message? Can it be a message for someone here, not even to say this is what your future is, but I can sense this is what you're going through, and God, you know, God has given me this on my heart. My question to you is, not knowing exactly what prophecy looks like, there are times, and I'm just giving this out here for everybody because maybe this happens to you too and you don't know what it looks like. There are times I'll be in prayer and I will see something in my mind's eye. Like this morning I was in prayer and I saw David as a shepherd, or a shepherd in general, and there was a table set before him. And over him in this green pasture was an ark. And the ark was a dome. It was a covering. Now, I don't know if the covering was Jesus or the promises that God gives us. But there were angels on one side under the blood of Jesus. And there were angels on top. And the ones on the top were from the second heaven, and they were dark angels. And there was a war going on. But God had told me through this picture or these images that, you know, he has set a table before us, that we can go to this table and take everything we need to win, you know, this battle, because it's already been won. But there was also that I heard, but there are many of us that take the swords from the angels and lay them down, and they let, breaks in that dome come in. And when they make breaks through their own pride or their own unbelief or whatever, the darkness can seep in and corrode a lot at that time. But God's covering is always there. We just need to put something up against that break. And that's our faith and our obedience. Now, I don't know if that's prophecy or not, but these are things I get when I pray. And I will make pictures of them, and I never know what to do with them. Yeah. So it's like, you know, okay. Is that something? Is that meant? What is that meant for?
Well, I think the first thing that you do is you ask God, why am I seeing this? And if you remember that all prophecy that is given, I would class that as a form of prophecy. It's something that you're seeing that is probably has prophetic implications. But the first thing you do is you ask God, look, is this for me? Is this for someone? What is it for? And then you wait. And at some point, if God is giving you a word, it will become obvious. And then you're, of course, faced with the choice, what will I do with it? And whether it's easy or difficult. But, yeah, I think that God, sometimes when you work with people, you'll experience this. You may be in prayer, and you're asking God, look, where do we go from here? And you just get this, either this awareness or this picture in your mind or this word, and many times it is just exactly what is needed. So, yeah, I think so. I think that's a form of it. And, you know, I struggle with hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit or my thoughts. And the Holy Spirit comes into our thoughts. That is one of the ways he speaks. And I find it difficult to discern between my thoughts and those. It's something that you just have to learn as you persevere in this exercise. Any other questions or testimonies of something that you may have experienced, Michelle? Something that, I'll just say this, if you've experienced something that you feel would be a blessing, feel free to share that too. Go ahead.
If I may, I'm just going to come up front.
Go ahead.
I want to bless you, James, for everything you do. You are a son of God, and in you I see, like he said to Peter, a rock, someone that he wants to build his church on. And I think he will speak through you, and he wants to take all those things maybe that people have said and heal them, said about you, and heal them, and the wounds that you receive, the father wounds, he wants to be that heavenly father and take what the devil meant for evil and turn it into good. And I just want to bless you as you seek him.
Thank you.
And yeah, thank you, brother.
Thank you, Michelle. I receive that. Yes, unworthy of that, but thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Rachel.
I was sitting here praying, asking God if he has a word for someone, and Beth Fisher came to my mind. Mm-hmm. Not sure where she's at. There she is. And I just saw a butterfly just came to my mind, and I see you as a butterfly just going from flower to flower and touching the little people in your lives, in your life. And I just want to bless that. And, just bless you with that.
Thank you, Rachel. Amen. Anyone else? I think sometimes, I'm sorry, was it Lori back there? All the way in the back. Sometimes it's a challenge for us to provide opportunities. I know some of us have experienced some of this at the Take Back Your Life seminars. There's probably various ones. And it's a challenge to walk it out, you know, when you leave that environment. But I want to do my part in providing opportunity for that to take place. Go ahead, Lori.
I was sitting here this morning, and I was having some negative thoughts. And I was just convicted about that, and I feel like God was telling me, and this is probably for everybody, that we need to look past behavior, and we need to look past our differences and the outward, and we need to love people exactly where they're at, and we need to extend the same grace and extend the same grace to people that God has extended for us.
Yes, amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you for your attentiveness. And again, I'm very open on this subject, even afterwards, if you have any questions or anything that you would like to share. It's just my heart that the body of Christ, whether it's Christian Light or any other church, would make his name great. And it's all about bringing glory and honor to him. And of course, as we sang that song, heartaches and broken pieces, that's why he came. And there are many, many, many heartaches and broken pieces. Even, don't just think out there, it can be that way, even in our very midst. And God wants to, he wants to bring healing, spiritual healing, deliverance, freedom. If you're living in sin and you are bound by sin, whatever the sin might be, it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. So that invitation is a standing invitation that God is giving and that I'm also extending to you.